And I want to look at this passage of Scripture. There's someone who's more faithful to us than any of us could be, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful for these verses that we read this evening. And I want to draw your attention, if there's anything we draw your attention to tonight, is thinking about God. And just to think about God. And having our thoughts toward God. And I believe this, that we would oftentimes talk about how many things God can do, which God can do anything He desires and wills. He's never going to go against His nature, His character. But there's also some things that He cannot do that I'm very thankful for. And I want to draw your attention to those things tonight. There's only three things that I'll mention to you, and then the fourth thing will be just a question for you and I. And I hope that that question will prompt our thinking throughout the week. And maybe you'll take it this evening and throughout your week, and it'll be a help to you. I pray it will be. I'm going to ask for the Lord's blessing. Again, I need it. And I've asked for the Lord's blessing up to now, but I just feel that I need to ask for His blessing once again. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, I thank You for this opportunity, and I thank You for this church. And Lord, I pray that You would just completely take over. And Lord, I pray that I would not say anything I should not say. But Lord, I pray that our attention would be drawn to You and You alone. Lord, thank You for this passage of Scripture we can look at. And I thank You that You've allowed us, for some reason today, to be in this same book of Psalms. And Lord, You've orchestrated this and You've guided this, and I pray it'll be a help to us tonight. Be with the listener and the speaker. Help us to take away things that we can take with us even tonight and for the rest of our week. We love You. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalms 139, verse 17 says, "How precious also are Thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand." By the way, you live close enough to sand to think about that. And I cannot say the same. We live about an hour away from the sand, Ocean City, but in New Jersey. But if you think about the thoughts, this is what the Bible says. It's if I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. "When I awake, I am still with Thee." This is to be said in one of the most excellent psalms of all, because it is filled and it drips with the doctrine of God's omniscience and how God can see, hear, know all. I don't know about you, but I'm greatly encouraged by these verses. And oftentimes throughout our life, we can find encouragement in others. As a Christian, we have the benefit of hearing someone maybe say to us, "I'm praying for you," or "you're in my thoughts and prayers." And that means a lot to someone that's going through a hard time or going through a difficult time. And as Christians, we share those words in sentiment, but also hopefully in seriousness, and be a matter that we say to someone that they're in our thoughts and prayers, and that the Lord is bringing someone to our mind and to even their name or the circumstance or things that are going on in their life. And I hope and pray that when we say that, we do truly pray for them. Because I believe this, that in those moments that God brings people's names to our mind, that we should pray for them in those moments that He brings their name to our mind. We would do well to do that. Would you take the Bible and turn to another passage of Scripture? Keep your finger in Psalms 139, verse 17, but also turn, if you would, over to the New Testament, to the book of Romans, and Romans 8, 26 and 27. I don't know if you're like me, but there's times when I am praying that I just quite don't know how to go about prayer to the degree that I wish it was. The depth and having a relationship with God is so important and so key, but I am so encouraged by these verses in Romans 8, verse 26. Would you notice something that the Holy Spirit and the Word of God states, that He helps us even in those times of our prayer? Romans 8:26 says this, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Would you jump down with me to verse 31? I hope you're familiar with this verse. It's a great verse. "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" And then look at verse 38, please, and verse 39. Please think about these verses. This is our God. By the way, we serve a great big God. And God is greater than we can even imagine or think in our mind. And one of the reasons he's so great is because of verse 38 and 39. It says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And I tell you why I believe that he's able to make intercession for us is because he's thinking on us. Psalms 139, verse 17 says, "How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God." Think on that. God thinks on you. He doesn't have to do that. He could have just left us to ourselves. But he thinks on us. I'm so glad in Psalms 40, verse 5, it says that his thoughts are to usward and are more than can be numbered. In Psalms 40, verse 17, it says, "I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me." Jeremiah 29, 11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord." Here's the thoughts. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Do you realize tonight that God is not only moment by moment, not only minute by minute, not only second by second, but every waking moment he is thinking on us? God is not bound by time, and his constant stream of divine thoughts are toward his children. Not for one moment does he have us out of his thoughts. I don't know about you, but I think how God of all gods is thinking about you and I, and that's incredible. Close to where we live, about an hour away, north of us in New Jersey, there's a place called Six Flags. I know it's not as good as Disney, and I'm thankful that we have at least something, but it's no comparison to Disney at all. But there's a ride there that was put in 2005, and it's called King Ka. And it was known to be, in 2005, one of the tallest and fastest rides that there is in the world. It's incredible. It's known to go 128 miles per hour, and it has a 418-foot drop. Now, I'm past that point in my life where I don't have to get the excitement of that, but my son got a thrill from that. I'm okay with the thrill on the ground and watching him. But can I tell you tonight, no matter what you think is incredible, God's thoughts are more incredible. Anything in this world that you could think of or you could talk about, God's thoughts about you and I are more incredible than any of that. And I want to remind you tonight that the thoughts of peace, not of evil. I hope tonight that you're starting to get the idea that God's thoughts are amazing. They're awesome. But I have a question for you tonight, for you and I, and that is this. Do you and I live in the comfort that Almighty God thinks on you? What does that do for you? Because tonight, really, what I want to get after is the things that God cannot do can also help get you through whatever it is in your life. Just as much as the things that God can do. And I want to draw your attention to a couple things tonight. And if you're thinking about how God thinks on you, that should humble you. That should do something for you. It should lift up a holy joy and confidence that you have a Savior that thinks on you. See, what if our Christian life could reflect and dwell on the matter of just this fact that God thinks on us? I think it would do something for us. I believe it would mean something to us. I believe it would increase our relationship with Him. I believe that we would realize as well that there's no one else that cares as much as He cares. I believe it would increase our conversation to Him because He thinks on us. And someone who's thinking on us is more than just, "You're in my thoughts and prayers." This is God Almighty, the one who died, the one who sacrificed himself, the one who gave his all for us, thinking on you, on me. I don't know about you, but if I'm not careful, my emotions, we say this, can be very fickle. Matter of fact, they play tricks on us. But I believe this, that a lot of times our emotions can be so funny and fickle because we're not careful of what our thoughts are. And if our thoughts are on God, by the way, the Lord knew this in Philippians 4:8, he tells us what to think about. He says this, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Just the other day, I was thinking about these verses and how important it is for me to think on those things. And it struck me, I never had this thought, but do you know who encompasses every one of those character traits and every one of those attributes? The Lord Jesus Christ. He's true. He's honest. He's very lovely. He's very pure. He's of good report. And he's worthy of our praise. And so it's a matter that, just as the scripture says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And I hope tonight that you'll start to train and start to exercise and start to let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, and start to realize we would do well, all of us, to think more on God. You know, the older I get, the funnier it is. It's a matter that I start to realize I feel as if I don't know as much as I thought I knew. The great thing about it is I do know the one who knows everything. And I do know the one who has all the answers to any situation. And the Bible says, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. And since God's thoughts are precious, why not our thoughts be precious about him? I mean, they're precious about us from God. What about from us about God? He's worthy. Matter of fact, I think that it's a matter that it should be easier for us to think about God, because he's a lot more precious than what you or I think we are ourselves. And for some reason, God thinks we're precious. And I'm glad he does. I want to test you tonight that even our thoughts can be precious, not only about what God can do, which God can do anything he desires and wills. In Genesis, first book of the Bible, it's very clear, is there anything too hard for the Lord? And the answer is no. Moses, he was questioning how God could possibly supply meat to several million Israelites. And he said, is the Lord's arm too short? No. Jeremiah 32:17 says, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. See, what God cannot and will not do is ever go against his character or his nature. And God can and will do anything he desires. And God always knows best. I believe that. But that gets tested at times in our life. Very much so. And God can do anything that he desires, and God is all he ever needs to be and all we ever need. I'm reminded of the song, just like the song says, he's an all in all. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. Do you know this tonight? The most stable person that you and I can count on is Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ, and we do well to rely on him. He doesn't change. He changes not. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. But I want to propose to you tonight, as we look at this psalm, that there are some things that are very clear that the Bible says that God cannot do. Because oftentimes, and we do well to think of what God can do, but what about what God cannot do? This should also be in our thoughts. Would you notice, please, with me, verses 1 through 6 of Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verse 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. There is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. And I tell you tonight, one of the things that we ought to be very thankful for and should be in our thoughts is that God cannot leave us. Number one tonight, God cannot leave you. And that should be something that should be in our thoughts. And that's a good thing that we can think about. I understand that God can do anything He desires and wills, and He's not going to go against His character. He's not going to go against His nature. But God cannot leave you. That ought to do something for you. That ought to mean something to you. That ought to get you excited inside your soul and in your spirit, do something to realize that God is our refuge. He's a strength. He's a very present help in trouble. That He says in Hebrews even, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That God knows us better than we even know ourselves. And He wants to walk with us. He wants to guide us. He has a plan for us. And God knows you and I better than anyone. He made us. He created us. He desires us to be so close to Him. And by the way, we think that the people that know us best are the ones that are closest to us. I'll tell you tonight, God knows you best. And He ought to be the one that we are the closest to. Martin Luther King was challenged with this matter of the fact that God never leaves you nor forsakes you. And he endured many beatings, many imprisonments, many death threats. His house was firebombed. He eventually was assassinated. But what kept him going was a strong sense of God's call upon his life. King was 26 years old when he was appointed a leader. And as soon as he was appointed the leader, he started receiving threats. And he received threats from a variety of different avenues. One time, Martin Luther King was harassed by police and pulled over for going only 5 miles over speed limit. And after he was pulled over, he was taken right to jail, and he served a first stint in jail. And the night after his release, he was at home, and the phone rang right after getting out of jail. And immediately, there were some things said to him that should never have been said to him. And he was really a matter of another threat given to him, and told him that they were going to destroy him, they were going to destroy his house, they were going to destroy anything that had anything to do with him. And he became very nervous, and he was very afraid. And he was afraid for himself, for his wife, for his children. And shortly after that phone call, he sat at the kitchen table, and as he sat there, he thought of his wife laying over in the other room, and how dedicated and how devoted and how loyal she was to him, and thought of his children and how they were asleep, and how at any moment, at any time, there could be very much a struggle and a challenge for them, if not even their life taken. And he got to a point where he couldn't take it really anymore. He was very weak. And he said at that moment, he discovered that religion had to become real. And he had to know God for himself. And he bowed down his head right there at the kitchen table in his home. And he says he'll never forget this moment, actually, when he said, Lord, I'm down here trying to do what's right. I think I'm right. I think the cause we represent is right. But Lord, I must confess that I'm weak right now. I'm faltering. I'm losing my courage. And he says, at that moment, he could hear an inner voice saying to him, Martin Luther, stand up for righteousness. Martin Luther, stand up for justice. Martin Luther, stand up for truth. And lo, I will be with you even until the end of the world. And he heard the voice of Jesus saying, really to him, fight on, continue on. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone, no, never alone, no, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. 3 nights later, from that moment and that time with the Lord, he had a threat come to him on a phone call, and a bomb exploded in the front veranda of the king's home. And thankfully, no one was hurt. But the reason that Martin Luther King was able to get through it is because he recalled his experience that he had with God and how he came to the realization that God would never leave him. And it gave him the strength to face it. Time and time and again throughout Martin Luther's ministry, he was faced with those things that were difficult for anyone to go through. And every moment, every time that he went through a very difficult situation, that moment was brought back to his mind. That God will never leave him or forsake him. And of course, it comes from Scripture. But I want to ask you tonight, I wonder, what are our thoughts of God like? You know why Martin Luther was starting to get through some of those things? Because he was thinking on God. And he was thinking about how God could not leave him, no matter what was coming his way. See, verse 6 is a response of realizing how good we have it and how great God is. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's high. I cannot attain unto it. But would you notice verse 7 and down through verse 12, there's no reason for us to leave him, and we should have the mindset that he sees all, knows all, hears all. Notice it says, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee." Well, the thoughts of how God cannot leave us. You know what David is doing here? He's just pouring his heart out to God. And he's stating to God what he thinks about God. I wonder tonight, how long would our list, how long would a description be for us if we had a moment, if we were challenged to write our thoughts about God? I often wonder even what it would take for me to experience God in a better way. You know, God has ways of doing that. God has ways of breaking us down. He has ways of molding us. He has ways of making us and forming us and causing us to renew our vision for him. But I want to tell you tonight, there's another thing that God cannot do that I'm so thankful for. And it should be a matter that we think about this. This is our God. God cannot ever stop loving us. Not only can he not leave us, but he never stops loving us. He cannot stop loving you. Verse 13 through 16, notice please with me, as we read earlier, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Oh, my substance was not hid from thee, when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Oh, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." God loves us. He knows us from our beginning, before our beginning. He knows us today. And he sees me in the beginning of beginnings, but he still knows me, even before then. And his works are marvelous. Jeremiah 31:3 says, "God's love is everlasting. He loves us with an everlasting love. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." You know, the greatest news that you and I could ever not get over is that God loves us. When was the last time you and I thought about how God loves you? You know, we would be very amiss, and it would not be right for us to think less of "Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so." Say, "Oh, that's a kid's song." We would do well as adults to maybe even sing that song or think about that song. Because God loves us so much, and he loves all people. I'm so glad he's not a respecter of persons, the Bible says. I'm so glad that he gave a ransom for all, and all means all and everyone. And I'm so glad that there's nothing else that should matter to us than the fact that knowing that God loves us. By the way, he loves us so much that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and marvelous are his works. That's you. That's me. "And my soul knoweth right well." Tonight, another thing that God cannot do, he cannot leave us. He cannot ever stop loving us. And I'm so thankful that he cannot lie to us. Verse 19, by the way, we live in a day and age where we just don't know who's telling us the truth or who's not. But you can know with certainty, no question, no doubt about it, that God will not lie to you. In verse 19, it says this, "Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee, and am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." You know, it says, "Surely thou wilt," because David here is thinking that, God, you realize what they're saying about you? God, you realize how wicked they are? You realize that these are enemies? And David is so enthralled with God that he can't stand it that people are saying things bad about God. Matter of fact, he knows that God is the way, the truth, and the life. And he knows this is not truthful. He knows this has nothing to do with life. And he actually, in a sense, is saying, do I not hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? Am I not grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. But he's counting them as enemies. David is saying, God, I can't stand this because I love thee so much. He's saying, I hate those that hate thee because they hate thee and I love you so much. It's as if in Psalms 101:3 he says, I hate the work of them that turn aside. Same kind of idea. See, to him, they're enemies to God, so they're enemies to him. Because he's in love with God so much. And he realizes that God is so truthful and God cannot lie that he's having a hard time. It's grieving his spirit, it says. He's grieving against the fact that they're rising up against God. And that's his God. Like the scripture says, it's my God. By the way, I hope you claim him as your God. And my God, if David is being very truthful to God and with his God, he is saying, God is truth, and I might as well be truthful to you, truth. And I want to ask you tonight, I wonder how truthful are we to God? Because God knows anyways. You cannot fool God. I cannot fool God. God knows exactly what's in our heart. I believe this, that yours and I, Christianity is only as good as Christ is shown in our life. So I want to challenge you young people tonight. I'm so encouraged that you sit in the front row. I don't know if that's asked or what happens with all that, but I'm just glad you're sitting where you are. I want to challenge you young people. What tonight would be a surrounding that would change who you are in Christ? We don't need any more Christians not living a life of real truth. And I wonder, when enemies come about, when there's hard times that come about, do you tell God the truth? Do you talk with him because you love him so much? Who is your first go-to? Do you Google it? All for going to parents, but you know, I think someone you ought to go to before we go to parents is God. And you might be surprised that if you have good and godly parents, that what God says is what your parents are going to say. But you don't know until you've met with God. And so, for all of us, Luke says this, for a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. The Barna reports are out, and they say only 35% of Americans believe in the concept of absolute truth. 35%. And only 5% of Americans have a biblical worldview. That's staggering. But God limits himself to this, to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. By the way, God is not lying about what he's done. Every word is true. Everything is right. Every word is worth believing. And what he's doing and soon will do concerning his plan and his word, never ever will you find it to be a lie. It's nothing but the truth. The question I have for us tonight is this. Lastly, is the last verses here in verse 23 and verse 24. Would you notice, please, with me, it says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So God cannot leave us. God cannot stop loving us. God will never lie to us. What does that mean for you and I? What it should mean for you and I is that we should do something about the matter of our thoughts being about God and be thankful for that God cannot do these things, but it should prompt us to do something with our life and prompt us to have some action to our words. And so it should be a matter that we want to be led by this one who cannot stop loving us, who can never leave us and never lies to us. And so we should have this spirit and this prayer be our prayer and our heartbeat be this heartbeat to where we say, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. I'm from the South, as I mentioned to you before. And you know, you can lead the horse to the water, but you can't make the horse drink. And you've heard that before. But what I'm saying is this. God, what do you want to do with my life? God, I either will let you lead me or I will not follow you. And I don't know about you, but if you're really thinking on God, you can't help but want to follow this type of God. And by the way, this is the God of all gods. This is the only God. He's the true God. He's the only one that you'll find that cannot stop loving you, can never leave you, and will never lie to you. And so with that said, the most precious and most wonderful, most delightful, most awesome, most amazing thoughts should be of God. So much so that, man, I can't wait. I can't help but want to follow this God. And I want to follow that. So how do you know if you're really following his lead? Well, I believe this. I believe verse 17, it says, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. You'll have your thoughts be so about him that you can't even wrap it up in a package. You can't even say that this is what it is. No, it's actually more than in the sand, the number of the sand. And when I'm awake, you're the first thing. You're my priority. As soon as I wake up, God, you're the first thing that comes to my mind. So consumed with God. What if we could get there? What if we could have our thoughts be on God so often that Isaiah puts it this way, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. So my thoughts, if they're so precious about God and I want him to lead me, they're going to be priority as soon as I wake up, verse 18. They're going to be precious in verse 17. And you know what? In verse 23 and 24, I just want to please God so badly because my thoughts are about him so much and so heavily. He cannot stop loving me. He can never leave me. And he never lies to me. Then, man, I want to follow that lead. I want to be a follower underneath that. So, God, search me. God, know my heart. You do know it. And you know the depths of it. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. God, try me. In other words, test me. Put me through it. By the way, that's something you say, they watch out. Be careful. Better really know what you believe and why you believe it. And know my thoughts. My thoughts. Well, if you look at this whole chapter is nothing but thoughts about God. This whole chapter. So the challenge is this. You say, well, God thinking on you is only going to mean as much to you as you think about God. You're right. You know, the greatness of your God is determined by how great you think about God. God is great, but it's up to you and I how much we're thinking about him. See, God will be as great to you and I as we make him out to be in our life. God is great no matter what. God's greatness is not changing, but he's not great to you or me unless we're thinking great thoughts about him. And so I do well to just study this passage of Scripture and this chapter, and I would encourage you to do the same so that tonight and throughout the rest of the week, what if we could just have our thoughts on God and God alone? He's worthy. He's worth it. And if that's the case, we will be saying, search, know, try, see if there be any wicked way in me, God. Lead me in the way everlasting. That's what I want. I hope that's your desire tonight. And I pray it is, because what God cannot do can actually help get you through whatever you're going through. Just think on the matter that he cannot leave you. He loves you. He'll never lie to you. And I want to follow that lead. Matter of fact, that's the best leadership you can get. Let's pray and ask for God's help in this, would you? Lord, I thank you for this passage of Scripture. I pray that you take the words that have been shared, and Lord, I pray that you would just use it in our life. Lord, I pray that you use it in my life. And Lord, I thank you for the way that you have and will continue to. And I pray that I'll be open to your will, to what your way is in all this matter. Thank you that David was concerned about having his thoughts on God, but he's not the last one to be thinking or the first one to be thinking about God. You desire us to have our thoughts on you and our mind stayed on thee. I pray that we'll show that in our life, and it'll be very evident. And then it'll come out in conversation, it'll come out in who we are, And Lord, I pray that people will see Christ in our life because we're following your leadership, and it starts with our thoughts and our thought life being right. I pray we do think on these things. True, honest, pure, lovely, good report. You are God. All those things and more. I love you. Pray that you'll help us now. In Jesus' name.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.